Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, that you loved us so much, that you sent your Son. Thank you, Lord, that when I'm on this path and I'm trying to do good and I'm trying to live right, Lord, and I fail and I mess up, you still love me, you still forgive me, and you're still with me. Thank you, Lord, that even though I walk through the valley and shadow of death, thou art with me. You're not near me. You're not by me. You're not in the room. You are with me. Thank you, Lord, that today you are with us. With us. In Jesus' name, we praise you and thank you for who you are. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah in his presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's with you today. He's with you. He's not near you. He is with you. All of our kids can go back to Kingdom Impact. Impact kids back there and have a great time. Look at all them kids going back there. How wonderful. Praise God. That's our future right there, guys. Raising up little men and women of God. Man, so good to see you. So good to see you. We're so excited. Thank you all so much for coming today and being a part of Kingdom Impact Services. God has been blessing and moving, man, the worship service and last Sunday. And God, we just turn a corner. And God is just doing some incredible, powerful stuff in our midst. And we are in an open heaven, I believe. God is just really, especially at the worship night on last Sunday, I just felt like there was an open heaven. You know, Scripture talks about that. And when you have an open heaven above you, just anything, I mean, anything's always impossible. But under an open heaven, whatever you need is you have direct access to. And I believe we're walking somewhat in that season right now. So whatever you need, don't hinder, don't wait to receive it. And I'm just a little hot, if we could turn it down just a little bit. But don't wait for it. Go ahead and receive from God and allow God to touch you today. Whatever you need, God is. And now, I've also learned about that when you are in a place of provision, you're in a place of provision. I'm still a little hot. If we can turn me down some. When you're in a place of provision and things are going really good, that's really when you need to learn some things to handle whenever you're in the desert time. I don't need to try to talk to you about how to handle the desert when you're in the desert, because you're in the desert. Makes sense? So now that we're in a place of provision and God's really blessing and moving, I want to talk to you about some dry times that you may face in your future that we definitely have faced in our past with COVID and all that, right? That was definitely a dry season. And now I want to talk to you about how to handle that. What is it for? Why does it happen? Amen? So that's what we're going to do today, is I'm going to talk about that. Because, you know, when you go to school, you know, reading, writing, and arithmetic, right? Those are things that are required courses, right? And when you go to college, there's certain classes that you have to take that's required. That's required that you have to take. And so I believe that Jesus has some required courses for us as well. Some things that we have to take in our lifetime. Because if not, we don't learn everything that we need to learn. We get spoiled and we get all kinds of situations happening in our life. So I want to talk to you about that today, because God's ultimate goal in all these required courses that we have are strictly based on trying to get us to have total dependence on Him. That we don't depend upon ourselves. We don't depend upon the resources. We totally depend on Him and Him alone. And we're going to talk today about Elijah. And I'm going to mention calling fire from heaven, but that's not what the service is about. Today we're going to talk about the total drought that happened in his life. Elisha, he knew how to hear from heaven. He heard God, and he heard God tell him, "I want you to go to Ahab," which was one of the most evil kings ever, and his old evil, wicked wife Jezebel was his wife, and they were just atrocious. They were evil. And did all kind of crazy stuff, killed people, just did wild, whack stuff. They were so bad. And so God told Elisha to go to Ahab and tell him there's going to be a drought. Okay, and he was not going to like that. And so it's going to last several years. Let's read from 1 Kings 17, 1 through 9. This is the Message paraphrase, okay? And so we're going to read that. Because I like how some of the stuff says in here that I want you to understand. So I want you to read that. You can also go back to, you know, King James or whatever you want to correlate the two. It says, "And this happened. Elijah confronted Ahab. As surely as God lives, the God of Israel, before whom I stand in obedient service, the next years are going to be a total drought. Not a drop of rain unless I say otherwise." And if you're reading the King James, the very beginning things it talks about, it says that Elisha the Tishbite. Elisha didn't have, he just appears on the scene all of a sudden here. He just comes out of nowhere, Elisha. And he wasn't known for anything. He's just, hey, he's Elisha the Tishbite from Gilead, which is like a nowhere, no man's land. So this is Elisha. So that's like, hey, that's just Doug from born in Marion, South Carolina. You know, that's just him. Okay. So he came on the scene as pretty much a nobody. Nobody, just who's Elijah? He just pops up in the Bible out of nowhere. And then we know all the great things he did. So today, if you feel like that person, if you feel like I don't have any purpose, I don't have any calls, I don't, nobody knows me, nobody knows what's going on in my life, they don't know all the things that God has in me, well, you could be excited because Elisha was the same way and God did mighty things for him. It says, "God then told Elisha, get out of here and fast. Head east and hide out in the brook of Kerith on the other side of the Jordan River. You can drink fresh water from the brook. And I've ordered ravens to feed you." Elisha obeyed God's orders, and he went and camped in Kerith Canyon on the other side of the Jordan. And sure enough, ravens brought him his meals, both breakfast and supper, and he drank from the brook. I don't know why it was breakfast and supper. I guess he had to fast lunch, or he just ate a big breakfast and a big supper. But the ravens came. And gave him, and what's so cool about this is ravens came and brought him meat. Ravens are meat eaters. So that's a miracle in itself that ravens kept bringing meat when they ate meat. Well, I'm not going to bring this man over here. I need something for me and my family, these little birds say, right? But they brought that meat, you know, for breakfast and for supper, and he drank water from the brook. Eventually, the brook dried up because of the drought. Then God spoke to him, "Get up and go to Zarephath and live there. I've instructed a woman who lives there, a widow, to feed you." See, the brook there really represents provision, refreshment, nourishment, sustaining of life. That's what the brook is. See, in the middle of this drought, Elisha had his own little pool of water. Everybody else in the city was all, they all were trying to find water, dealing with, and he had his own private little stock, right? And in the Old Testament characters, this man named Elijah, he was a Tishbite, and he was a rugged old man from Gilead, and it was east of the Jordan River. Elisha, I love that. I think I might change my middle name to Elisha. It means my God is Yahweh. That's what Elisha means. My God is Yahweh. That's the coolest name to have, I think. But these ravens fed him sandwiches and bread and meat from, and he drank water from this brook. And so I want you to know that in your life, who would expect ravens who eat meat to bring meat and bread to you? Okay, so in your life when you're going through things, also, I'm going to try to give you little nuggets as I go through. Expect blessings from unlikely sources. You never know where it's going to come from. I have been blessed by different sources and different things in my life, and I'm like, I would have never thought that. But God uses different sources to bless you in different ways and unlikely sources as well. And then he went to the widower's house, and he got there to the widower's house, and he said, you know, hey, and what you don't understand is that going from the brook to Zarephath is anywhere from 75 to 100 miles. And so we don't hear about that. You hear the brook dries up, and he goes to the widower's house, and then he asks her for some water. And then he says, oh, by the way, make me a cake too, right? And she's like, excuse me? Who are you? You know, but so we don't hear about that middle time. But there is a middle time to where the brook dried up, where he had some suffering that he went through for 75. You don't get 75 to 183 miles. You don't get that far overnight, right? So it was several days that he was journeying on this land. And he went to this house and he asked her, he said, hey, and she's like, hey, listen, sir, you know, I can get you some water, but I have just a little bit of oil in my cruse and I want to make some bread and I'm going to eat that. And me and my sons, we're going to die because we ain't got nothing else. He's like, you make a cake for me and you're always going to have enough flour and oil in your cruse for you to live as long as you need. And she did. She made him that, and then her cup runneth over. She had the oil and the flour that just kept coming out, kind of like the fishes and the loaves. Again, showing how God can multiply things that you don't think that there's nothing left of. You ever had money in your bank, and you're like, I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills this month, and at the end of the month, you paid all your bills? You're like, it don't make sense. I added it up, and it didn't work, and somehow it worked. You're not even sure how it happened. So he left the widow's house, and he went and challenged the 450 prophets of Baal. Baal was an evil god, and he called fire down from heaven and showed them and did all that kind of stuff there. And then after he left there, he went to and saw Elisha, and that's where he got caught up into a chariot and went away and passed his mantle to Elisha. Okay, so. First off, I want to go ahead and let you know, and I think it's in my notes later, but I will say this right now, that if the drought hadn't dried up his little brook, his little private stock, he would have never seen the miracle of the woman with the cruse. He would have never seen fire fall from heaven, and he would have never got caught up in a chariot and gave his mantle to Elisha. So we get all upset when something happens in our life, and we feel like, God, but I had it going on. Look, and you took this from me. What is going on? But we got to understand that there's a whole journey. It's not a destination, the brook. It's a journey through life. And God's got so much more for us. Amen? You know, but we think a lot of times that we have all we need. I got friends that consistently love me and care for me and nurture me. And they get me. You know? And then you have the bank, you can cut that down a little bit, that's fine. Then you get your bank account and you're like, oh, I got a decent amount of money in here and all that, and I got enough to pay my bills, I'm good. And then you got home. Home is where it anchors you. You relax, you chill out, it's a safe place, a safe harbor, it's where you refresh at, you're there with family and it anchors you. And then you have the workplace where you go to work every day and you got a good job, you're making decent money, and it pushes you to do more. You're getting promotions and stuff like that. Then you got your hobbies that give you a joy, you know, and it's a little escape and it's a distraction from life's mundaneness. And then you also have a dream. You have a dream that you're thinking about, a goal that you're pushing for, a place that you're trying to get to. And, you know, not just heaven, but just in life in general. But then you got all those wonderful things. You're like, man, life is great. Life is good. You're on the mountaintop. And then all of a sudden, a brook dries up. Life was great. Things were on up. You know, things were going pretty decently. And then all of a sudden, COVID came. And then it just spiraled all the way down. You know, just like that brook did for Elijah. And that brook, Cherith. Cherith means cutting away. And what God did was he cut away from Elisha what he was dependent on. He's like, man, this is cool. This is a life. Everybody else is in a drought. I'm sitting here. I got my little stock here. I got birds feed me every day. You know, hey, this is kind of cool. I can do this during this drought till the drought's over. But, you know, but then all of a sudden things start getting not so good. Your friends, all of a sudden, they start betraying you maybe. You're not as close to as you used to be. The bank, well, there's not quite as much money that you had. Your home, you're there, but you're not really relaxed. You're not really replenishing yourselves. You know, you're not doing that. Your work, you're at work, but you hate going to work. You detest going to work. While you're there, you're just doing it just because you have to make a living. You know, your quiet time, you're feeling when you're praying and you're reading your scriptures, you feel like I'm just praying to an iron ceiling. I'm praying up and it's just like falling back to the ground. You know, in your dream, your dream don't even get you out of bed anymore. That dream that got you up every morning thinking, I got this goal, I'm going to do this one day. And now all of a sudden you're like, that dream just don't move me like it used to. See, one of the most depressing moments in our lives is when you finally conquer a goal and you get somewhere and you realize it wasn't all what you thought it was going to be. And that happens to us so many times in our life. So why does God always allow this to happen? Okay? Why do brooks dry up in our lives? Peter said in 1 Peter 4 and 12, "Think it not strange or surprised concerning the fiery trial by which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." So it's saying, hey, this is going to these fiery trials. Fiery is not always fire. Sometimes it's the fire that dries up stuff and leaves you in a parched, dry land. That fiery trial. And so he's saying, don't be surprised, because life is full of up and downs. You're going to be on the mountaintop of provisions. You know, we were in the valley, and now we're moving up, and now we're in a place of provision right now, and God's blessing. But let me be assured, some sooner than others, there's going to be a valley that's going to try to come by. There's going to be dry brooks that's going to dry up in your life. And the enemy's going to try to use that against you to make you think, where's your God now? Why don't your God love you? Why don't your God care for you? Look, you were living a life. Now look where you're at. And that's why right now I tell people all the time, they're like, give me some wisdom. I was like, make boundaries in the good times of your life, so when the bad times in your life comes, you know, you already have those boundaries in place. If you wait till the bad times to come to try to set boundaries, it ain't going to work. You're already there. So, but if you're already there, then we need God's help and deliverance to get you out of that so you can set boundaries. Does that make sense? So Paul assured and said in 2 Timothy 3:12, "And yes, all that will live godly in Jesus Christ will suffer persecution. We will have those times of persecution." And now listen, don't worry. I'm not going to stay in this vein for several weeks. Starting next week, I'm going to start a little series. I've been reading this book that's just incredible. It's called The Awe of God. And I'm going to be preaching from that book some, and I'm going to talk about shock and awe. We're going to talk several weeks about the awe of God, fearing God. What does fearing God mean? Does it mean to be scared of Him? How does He work like that? And the presence of God. We're going to talk about those things. Since God's showing His presence, and a lot of people hasn't really understood. Like, man, I'm feeling something. I just don't understand. So we're going to talk about that over the next several weeks, okay? But right today, we're going to talk about what James said in chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. He makes this incredible statement. He says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind comes your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." One translation says, consider it pure joy. That's just hard to do. Pastor Doug don't do that well sometimes. You know, life sucks. It's just pure joy today, you know. Yeah. Just, you know, that's just not how I handle it. Okay, but so but it says, "For you know when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. And when you endure those trials, it makes you a better person. It makes you a better Christian. And it helps you understand, man, that times are tough and you can make it." So, but here's why the brooks dry up. Because it's too easy for us to begin to depend upon that brook. See, Elisha would have relaxed and sat right there and said, "You know what? I got this. I don't need to go nowhere else. This is fine. Times are tough. Everybody's having a tough time. I'm just going to sit right here, you know, and do it." And Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that God causes everything to work for the good for those who love Him and call Him according to His purpose." And we might sit there and say, "Well, God's going to work all this. This is my good. This is what He's talking about, you know." But then all of a sudden, we kind of get greedy and we're like, "This is my brook. I'm not blessing nobody else. Matter of fact, you're suffering. I'm not. That's your fault. You're not where I'm at with God. I'm in a holy place. You're not." We start looking down on people. We start. We got it so good. We stop having compassion for someone who has lack because we got it so good and we're so excited about it. And we start judging other people. We start writing a book, 25 Reasons Why I Got a Brook and You Ain't. Right? You know. And so we got to understand that. And sit there and stop. And sometimes God does that to show us that we have lack too, so we can have compassion on others, and others can have compassion on us. And that compassion on us humbles us because someone has compassion on us and helps us realize that we ain't all that in a bag of chips anyway. We're just like everybody else. We just had a moment of provision. Now it's their turn. And now we need help. We got to depend on each other. That's what's so good about the family of God. You know, and that's what's so good. And, you know, and everybody's like, "Well, yeah, you know, during COVID, I can watch it online." You can. And so many people watch online that are out of town and are bedridden. But I'm telling you, I'm not really posting much of anything on the worship night because it was so over the top, such an open heaven. So many great things happened. I went back and watched it online. I'm like, I don't see what I saw. You know why? Because you cannot capture on a video the presence of God. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to ruin it by letting somebody see it and judge it when they weren't there to feel what we felt. That's why it's so important to be in the house of God. Because yes, you can watch it online, but you can't experience necessarily like that. Now, those who are, I believe God has a special grace for those who are bedridden, and those who are out of state that are watching and they're part of our family. God's going to bless you and your household. But just being lazy, staying in bed, not wanting to get up and come to church, God ain't got no time for that. You're going to get the word from that, but you're not going to get the presence like we have it here. So sometimes, number two, sometimes our answers to prayer are danger for becoming a barrier that shuts off from Christ himself. See, nobody can permanently have their own little brook, their own little thing from God. See, our blessings can become our barriers, and our privilege that we have can become our pride. And we sit there, and we look at it, and we hold it, and it makes us prideful. Look what I got. Nobody else has got this but me. And so he knew that Elijah did not need that. He had so much greater things for Elijah. And also, when we let one part of our life that God's blessings just bless us always, that holds you to just that blessing. And even though in that time, in that drought, this seems like the greatest blessing possible because I got water, I got food, nobody else does this, how can it get any better? But God's got so much more greater things for us. So God allows that to dry up to force us to move on. Because if it didn't dry up, we would not move on. We would sit our little hinds there and say, okay, well, this is good. I'm good. I'm going to sit in my recliner and just enjoy this, right? The next one. You've got two options when your brook dries up. One, you can camp right there beside that thing and say, look, this is where God did it. Now he ain't done it no more. I guess there's no more provision for me. And let it dry up, and then you're going to dry up spiritually. And a lot of people camp out in the past, what used to bless you, and not go on to what God's trying to bless you with. He had that woman, and we're stuck beside what used to, now it's dried up. This don't bless me no more. It's never going to bless me again. And I'm going to sit right here and dry up with it. Or I can go and be pushed into what God has, the new blessing for me. And then the second part is that you can let it drive you to your Zarephath, your new season, the new anointing, the new provision, new life, new excitement. So why is Zarephath? Zarephath is for Elijah, was a place where he could find this woman that was struggling herself, and God could use him to bless her, and she can be sustained for the rest of her life with that oil and that stuff. And he saw that miracle. And that Zarephath, as I said, was 75 to 100 miles away, you know, and some say give a number of 83. I don't know how they came up with that number, but about that. And so there was a time in between where he had to continue to trust God during that time. When he left that, he for several days, he's like, God, where are the ravens? Where's the water? I thought I was going to leave and go 5 miles overnight, and you're going to have my place at least sustain me until I get to Zarephath to do what you told me to do. But sometimes there's no provision in between. It's just trust God. It's just trusting God. And God, I know you're going to do it. I'm hungry. I'm weak. I got all this going on in my life, and I'm just going to continue to trust you and hang on because I know that my day's coming. Because Zarephath, if it keeps flowing, like I said a while ago, we forget how other people feel. We forget what it feels like to have lack. And there's experiences that God wants to be a part of. There's signs and wonders and miracles and all kinds of things. Man, I would have hated to know that I stayed beside a dry bank and miss me calling fire down from heaven. How much greater is that than having a little pot of honey over here in a dry land? Right? You know, and because we get judgmental. You know, if you had enough faith, yours wouldn't have dried up. That's what we would say if we still had ours. We would say, hey, if you had faith like I do, and we got to be careful. See, one day, Jesus Christ himself, his brook dried up. He had it all going on. He was the Son of God. He left heaven and came down to earth as a human being, and his brook dried up. His friends that he had, they all deserted him. They all turned on him. They all betrayed him and backstabbed him. His book that hadn't even been written yet, because he was the second half of the book. He was second edition. He was the New Testament. Because, yes, the New Testament is a book of books, but the New Testament is Jesus Christ. And so it hadn't been written yet. His home, Scripture says that foxes have holes, but the Son of God has no place to lay his head. He was going away from place to place. He just laid his head on a rock or wherever he was at. If you watch The Chosen, you'll see that. And you see that they were just going place to place. His work, he was doing the best he could. The work is to do the will of the one who sent me. And that was a hard thing. His work was getting harder and harder and harder everywhere he went because everybody was trying to trap him. Everybody was trying to send him to jail. People were trying to kill him. And his church, the religious leaders that were supposed to be religious leaders, they all turned against him and they hated him and they kicked him out of the church. They didn't want him there because they felt like he was a false prophet. So let me give you a quick, brief warning. If you come on up, and play a little something. I got this is a short message today, but I think it's powerful and impactful. One brief warning: don't make personal restlessness for always for your dried up brook. What I mean by that is, sometimes it's not a dried up brook. You may have a little less water in the brook. The provisions are not flowing like they used to. Don't get pansy and feel like, okay, well, God, there's not hardly no water there. You know, when it's not a dried up brook, there's still water there. There's still provision, but it's not a provision that you used to have. Don't try to act like that you just got this dried up brook now. When it's just restlessness, it's just a short season of maybe inactivity. Sometimes we go straight from, well, it's not what I thought it was. It's not as good as it used to be, but it's still our provision. And God hasn't called you to Zarephath yet. You just got a place of it's drying up. But see, he didn't leave till it was dried up and God called him somewhere else. Don't leave somewhere where God is still providing for you, but it's just not providing the way you want it yet or as much as it used to until God calls you and says, now. Now's the time. So if you want to grow, Isaiah 43:19 says, for I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Don't you see it? I will make a pathway in the wilderness, in the dry desert land. Through the wilderness. I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. He may not send you to Zarephath. He may just send you a little way and you're going through the dry desert land, and all of a sudden he just pops up a river like he did for Moses. And he hit a rock and then boom, or he spoke to the rock. And right out of them little cracks, all of a sudden becomes your provision. And we got to know that and say, you know what? He said, I'm doing something new. And he is certainly doing something new here at Kingdom Impact. We are definitely in a new season. He's doing something he's never done before. And we are in provision. Don't get me wrong. This ain't about us now. I'm trying to prepare you because these times are going to come for you and maybe even for us. Hopefully we're going to continue to flow in the Spirit, but maybe for you in your personal life. But God allowed the brook to dry up for us through COVID. And now look where we're at. I've often said, man, we were on our way up before COVID came. We had 130, 40 people. We were getting ready to, you know, and that would have been fine. But you know what? I would give that up for the presence of God that we have right now. And now take what we got right now and let him continue to grow us the way we should be. Sometimes we think that we know what's best. Well, man, look where we're at. Look where, again, what am I doing right now? Look where we were at. Look what God was doing. And I'm here to say to you today, look what God is doing. And also, look what he's going to do. You know, we if you had a child that was sick and you had to put him in, and you had to let them go to the hospital and they had to have surgery, every one of you in this room would trust that doctor to help take care of your child. You don't know that doctor. You don't know his personal life. You know him in the doctor's office probably. You don't know him. You don't know who he is. You don't know his background. You don't know what he does on his off time. But you're trusting him with your child to take care of your child and protect your child and heal your child. A human being that you don't know, that never died for you. Why can't we trust a Jesus and a God that sent his son for us that we know? Because he gives us, here's everything about me that you need to know. Here's who I am. Trust me to heal. Trust me to provide. I was told that story a couple weeks ago about finances. And I said, if you had a guy named Rich and you're like, I don't have any money. And I said, look, go ahead and just pay your bills. Don't worry about paying. You're not going to have to worry about paying your tithes, because you pay your tithes. And then all the money that Rich has, if you're lacking in a month, he's going to help you. Every one of you like, oh, well, I know Rich, he's a millionaire. I'm going to go ahead. I trust him. But he could lose his money like that tomorrow. But God Almighty says, you pay your tithes. You do right. You give. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills, and I own the hills too. And I'm going to take care of you. Quit trusting Rich and trust me. And we got to do that. And we got to set these boundaries. And we got to allow God to minister to us. We got to allow God and say, you know what? I'm just going to trust you during these dry times. Because I know there's coming a time where it's going to flow again. And you're going to show me things. You got things to show me that if I would have seen that little brook, I would have never, ever seen. And God is opening it up. And there, like I said, I really believe that we're in the middle of an open heaven time right now here. And God's just doing things. We had two people got saved last week. And, you know, the week before that, I don't know if I told you, I had a 9-year-old come back in my office and said, you know, hey, I'm getting ready to leave and I'm not going to be around anymore. Because they had to go back with their mom. They said, but before I leave, I want to get saved, Pastor. Little 9-year-old kid back there. And I said, why? I said, why? I didn't know if the child was trying to say that because they didn't want to leave or what. So I said, why do you want to get saved, buddy? What's your reason? He said, well, because it runs in my family. Everybody's saved in my family. I'm like, well, that's a good thing. He said, and I've done some really bad things. And I know that when I go back, I'm going to be faced with them. And I know that God can help me. And I was like, well, man, if you were only down here for just a couple of months for you to learn that and you're going back, then praise God we were able to help you and God's good and you're going to go back and change the little man. And salvation, like I said, things are happening and just it's incredible. And I can't even begin to tell you. Some of you wouldn't even understand what happened on that worship night, what people saw in the spirit, some people that have the prophetic and just it went right in line with different things and other people had other things happen then they told me about, and all flows together. And that's when you know it's God, because every story goes just like this right here. One person says something, some person says something else, and they clash. That's just not God. God don't clash stories. God always flows together. And 3 or 4 people told me different things, and they all came like milk and honey, peanut butter and jelly, cream and sugar. And so there's more of that. There's more of that for you. There's more of that for me. So I'm not talking about this brook drying up because we're getting ready to dry up, because we're not. Never, ever. You know, your brook may dry up temporarily, but I say that to let you know that when it dries up, say, oh, God's got this. God, are you about to call fire down from heaven in my life? Come on, somebody. And I'm just going to go and I'm going to trust you and come to church. You can say, hey, I'm in a dry season. Let us know that so we can pray for you. So all these brothers and sisters around you can join them together and be on your side and care for you and love you. That's what family does. And that's what we're here for. Praise God. Would you bow your hand, close your eyes? Is there anybody here today who said, Pastor Doug, I don't even have I never had a brook. I live in a wasteland. I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And if I die today, I don't know where I go, but I know that God is good. Based on your story today, I'm seeing and hearing all this stuff, and I want to receive Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I want God in my life, and I want to be a Christian, and I want to surrender to Him, and I want to try this. I want Him to be my provision, to be my deliverer, to be my hope, to be my help, to be my future. Would anybody raise your hand and say, I just want to receive Christ today, and I want Christ to come in my life? You just raise your hand real fast. I won't embarrass you, but I want to give you the opportunity. Any hand? Yes, I see that hand. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? I see that hand. Anybody else want to receive Christ? You want to become a Christian today? To know that heaven is your home? To know that God has your back? Anybody else at all? Amen. 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 Anybody else? Okay. Amen. Well, let's just pray. Dear God, we just ask you, Lord, today, to come into our hearts, to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from unrighteousness, to be our Lord, to be my King. Forgive me for my past. Prepare my future. Make me clean. Make me whole. I renounce the things in my life that are not of you. The sin, the addiction, the fear, the jealousy, the anger. And I release it all to you in Jesus' name. I am a Christian and you are my Savior. In Jesus' name. Is there anybody here today who would say, Pastor Doug, I am in a dry season of my life. I know Holy Spirit's been moving and I was here. I felt a little bit of it, but I am in a dry season right now. Would you just pray for me that I can trust God during this season? We can go right back to that, trust God. I trust God in a second. I pray to the answer. That's what happens. Yes, yes, yes. I see your hand. Anybody else? Yes, yes, yes. You're in a dry season. Yes, yes, yes. I see your hands. Anybody else in a dry? Yes, yes. Hands up going up everywhere. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, you see these hands up. You are not going to ever do something for Elijah and not do it for them. Because you are no respecter of persons. So God, their brook has dried up. Help them to go to their next Zarephath. Help them to go to that place of provision. Help them, Lord, they are calling you right now, and I know you're going to answer because of this beautiful song we're singing and tells us that you will. And you're more than that, your word says you will. So they are calling to you right now to come out of the dry season. Help us, the rest of us in this room that are overflowing with provision, help us to help provide for them spiritually. Lord, help us to let them drink from our spiritual river that we have that's flowing in us. As we pray for them, as we stand with them, God, believe in God that you're going to call fire down from heaven in their lives and show them miracles, signs and wonders and blessings. And we thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Does anybody want prayer today? Somebody before service asked me to pray for them, and I can do that now or later, but them or anybody else wants prayer right now, if you want to come down, you say, hey, I'm in a super dry season tonight. Thank you for that little prayer, but I want you to lay hands on me and believe personally and privately for that. Anybody want prayer at all? Anybody need prayer? If not, we can go on and enjoy our week and our afternoon, but I want to give you the opportunity to pray for you right now. Maybe for everybody that was enough, because you don't need me to touch you. You don't need me to lay hands on you. God can do it right where he's at. Amen. Well, that's good. God bless you. I love you. Such a big deal to me and a bigger deal to God. Go this week and be blessed and come back and start thinking about the awe of God and the fear of God and what all that means. And next week we're going to talk about it and we're going to research it. And then over the next several weeks we're going to talk about the awe of God and the presence of God. And it's going to be good. It's going to help you learn, because I feel like when you start experiencing stuff you don't understand, you get weak sometimes when you don't understand it. So I want you to be strong in what happened, and I want you to know what happened. So when it happens again, you're like, oh, I know exactly what all this is. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.